Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Please love each other. Thank you.
And we'll get to that scripture eventually. But I'm going to read you another one first. And if you think just because you're in the back you're safe and that's why these are empty, that's why I have a wireless mic. I can get right up to you. So there's no seat safe. So I'm sure that everybody's here just because they want to hear this sermon. I'm sure of it. Just about as sure as I am Kentucky's going to be Florida next week. Which, as I told people while I wear my UK tie, I only wear it when they're undefeated. And so they're 3-0, so I had to wear it real quick because they play Florida next week. So UK and football usually aren't good in the same sense. All right, Mark chapter 2, it's a story about something that happened during Jesus' life. It says, after a few days, Jesus went back to Capernaum. And people heard that he was at home, so many gathered there, so that there was no longer space, not even near the door. Jesus is speaking the word to them. Some people arrived, and four of them were bringing to him a man who was paralyzed. They couldn't carry him through the crowd, so they tore off part of the roof above where Jesus was. And when they made an opening, they lowered the mat on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Some legal experts were sitting there muttering among themselves. But Jesus recognized what they were discussing, and he said to them, "Why do you fill your minds with these questions?" And he goes on, in verse 11, he says to the man who's paralytic, he says, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Jesus raised him up right away, picked up his mat, and walked out in front of everybody. They were all amazed and praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." The word of the Lord. So this guy wanted to see Jesus, but he had a problem. He couldn't walk. He tried probably to get some help from the government, and he wasn't getting help there, so he finally decided the only place left to turn was Jesus, but he couldn't get there. But he had something that everybody needs, and that's friends. And so his friends were willing to take him, and so they took him to see Jesus. Now, we need to understand a little bit about friends. I like this quote. It says, "A friend is one who steps in when the world steps out." But the one I like better was, "An old friend will help you move. A good friend will help you move a dead body." Yep. These were good friends. Because he was just as good as dead. He couldn't move on his own. He needed help. They get there. And when they get there, they have a problem. There's a crowd around the house they can't get in. You know, you're carrying a stretcher, you need a little more room to get through. So, no problem. They get up on the roof. And with friends like this who needs enemies, they put a hole in the roof and let their friend down. And Jesus heals him. Now, I'm not sure how much the land, the guy who owned the house, loved his friends, but that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is these guys cared enough to not just go the mile or the extra mile, to actually break the law. Because I'm pretty sure breaking someone's roof, you know, to let them in wasn't exactly legal, even in Palestine at that time. But they cared. We all need friends who care for us like that. Some of you may or may not like Westerns. There's a Western a few years ago about dealing with the fight at the OK Corral. And in this one, there's a scene where Doc Holliday is getting ready to help his friend, and a guy comes in and says, "Doc," you know, he coughs up and blood comes out, and he says, "Doc, you're not in any shape to go out there. You can't do that." He says, "I got to. Wyatt's my friend." He says, "I got lots of friends." And Doc says, "I don't." So it's important that we know who our friends are, and when we have friends that we're willing to go out of our way to help them, do whatever we can do to help them. Now in life we have a lot of vocations. You know, we have our job that we have at work. We have a job to be a good neighbor, a good spouse. But we really have a job to be a good friend. And sometimes it takes work to be a good friend. Not everybody is as easy to get along with as I am. I like him. I like him. He's only saying that because he's put one of the ones that's going to be putting a pie in my face later. But it's true. Sometimes it takes hard work to be a good friend. Because sometimes a friend has to tell us things we don't want to hear. And a good friend will tell us that. But who are your friends? Who can you rely on? Who are the ones that will be there when you need them? Moses had Aaron. Naomi had Ruth. Monica had all the rest of the people in that group. But we all need friends. I mean, I think of the old TV show, Cheers. Y'all remember it? You know, when Norm, you know, when he come in, you know, that's the way we should be with our friends. When we should see them, we should be excited to see them. Not like, oh. And you know what I'm talking about. I know you do. But we really need to be there and be excited to be, not just have good friends, we need to be good friends. And that sometimes means doing whatever it takes. Fixing them cookies when they're sad. Or if you're as fat as me, fixing them bacon. Well, bacon doesn't work either. Just feed the pastor. He'll be happy no matter what. But doing whatever it takes. Going to watch a game with them. Or going to a concert with them. Going to whatever. Or just being there and sitting quiet. Think about Job's friends. He had all this garbage that was going on in his life. His three friends come and they sit there with him for 7 days. Don't say a word. That's friendship. And then they open their mouths. And that was where they all went downhill from there. So sometimes being a friend just means being able to sit there and just be there for our friends. Well, old hymn that we read earlier today says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit, what needless pain we bear, all because we have carried everything to God in prayer." Now, the scripture that was read before the story of the friends talks about our ultimate friend, Jesus, who says, you know, he's willing to die and did die for us. And he says, all I want you to do is one thing. Simple. You know, in the Old Testament, God gave you all these rules. Y'all couldn't handle it. We narrowed it down to 10. You still couldn't handle it. I'm just going to give you one. See if you can handle just one. Love one another as I have loved you. Ooh. Can you pick a different one? It may be simple, but it's not easy. Because not everyone's as easy as to love as Amy is. See, you thought I was going to say me. I know better. I see me in the mirror every morning. Love one another as God has loved you. God loved you warts and all. And we like to hide our warts, but they're there. God knows them. Our friends, if they're really good friends, know our warts and love us anyway. So my encouragement to everyone here, if you hear nothing else, hear this. Learn to love those around you the way God loves you. Don't look for a reason to be snide Don't look for a reason to think you're better than they are. Look for a reason to say, man, I love you. Because when we start treating people like that, you're not going to have near the pain that we have in our lives. Why? Because the more friends you have, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Now, if there's just two of you trying to haul me out this door, you're going to be struggling. But you get 50 people and put the rope around me, you can drag me out pretty easy, right? So love one another. Also tells us that love covers a multitude of sins, and some of them are love hard. Friends, you brought some today. Even if they were bribed with pies in my face, it's okay. Because you care enough about your friends to let them know that you want them to hear about the best friend of all, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the ultimate friend, Jesus. Help each of us to do our best to make sure that we become the friends that we need to be, that we love one another, that we are able to come out and just share your love with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. I do want to leave you with one thing. When that guy walked out of that building, what do you think they did with the pallet? My guess is the five of them took it somewhere and made a bonfire, roasted some hot dogs and marshmallows and had a party. Because that's what you do with friends, right? Okay, well, maybe not, but it sounded good. All right, let's see. We want to remember the people that are on our prayer list that we have here, as well as the ongoing cleanups in Texas and in Florida. Are there any others that we want to add to our list today? Yes. I will tell you all that I told people earlier I was preaching a shorter sermon today to make sure that we would get out on time so that no one would leave without getting to put their pie on the face. Besides, I had a guy tell me once who was a lot smarter than I am that there's two types of sermons. There's good sermons and there's long sermons. So I decided to preach a good one today. All right. Others? Yes.